Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Oh, baby. Big equipment save for me right there. See that?
No, I did not notice.
The mic was starting to make its way to the ground, detaching. Somehow, just the natural order of things, this slowly loosens, twists to the left, lefty loosey. And you think that just eventually this thing is going to crash, but we were able to prevent that from happening. Here on Football Monday, Mike Schoep and the Bulldogs. Now you know that. Tell your friends. Sal Capaccio with us now on the West Her Hotline. Sal, so also this for Eric Wood earlier. Was yesterday quite unusual for what the crowd vibe was?
Yeah, I'd say so. It was a preseason type feel. I have no idea what Eric said, so he could have said something totally different than me or exactly the same. I'm not copying if that's the case, just so you know. I would say it was a preseason type feel. And the weirder part was that a lot of the crowd that was there was cheering against the home team. They were literally booing late in the game when the Patriots were winning. And then you had the Bills fans who wanted their team to win, but knew it didn't matter. And kind of some of them were like, "Ah, it's all right if you lose," you know. I mean, so it was a bit weird, yeah.
Yeah, reminiscent of a certain game against the Arizona Coyotes some years ago, where Mike Weber of the Sabres at the time got very upset because fans were cheering Arizona goals.
You couldn't blame Kayshon Booty and the rest of the Patriots for being ticked off if they. I mean, we're finally going to win one here, maybe, and our fans hate us so much that they hope we don't. I mean, that's not a great feeling.
So I don't want to dwell too long. We spent a lot of time with Eric talking about New England because they obviously, with what happened after the game, and you know, May playing a series and Milton taking over, a lot of it was just weird. Like I don't at all myself think that Gerard Mayo got fired because they won the game, but his handling of May. He's going to play. He only plays one series. Like he's some vested veteran. Was weird. If you were going to do that, I think they should have played Milton. And then of course he gets fired right after the game, which was kind of incredible, not unforeseen, but still pretty remarkable. Mike and I have remarked here. We've been on 20 years plus of Bills post game shows, and never has a guy been fired during our show.
After a win.
After either. A win, especially. But, yeah, either way. So just all of it for New England was just, it was a lot to drink.
Yeah, it was a bit odd, and I get the feeling, especially, you know, Adam Schefter had reported it was leaning that he was going to not be back, right? Like, that happened before the game, and we talked about it on the pregame roundtable and all that. So I think that the writing was on the wall. Listening to Robert Kraft today, he said that, you know, he felt he put Jerod Mayo in a really bad situation. I mean, you know, I'm sure he's going to massage it a little bit, but I do feel that this had been coming. It was not because of yesterday's result. I don't think the Patriots fired Jerod Mayo because he won. But I do think that they probably fired him in part because Robert Kraft saw Mike Vrabel interviewing with the New York Jets, their arch rival, right. And basically said, I am not letting that guy go to the New York Jets. I got to get him here. I think he's going to be the next head coach of the Patriots. But obviously, we'll see where that goes. Yeah, it was a bit odd from that standpoint. We'll see where they go. And as far as the quarterback is concerned, listen, I think it's defensible, even if I think it's defensible even outside of trying to lose the game, however you want to say that, that they would take him out because you don't want to get your first-year quarterback injured going into an offseason, which is now the first time he'll have a full offseason in your program because he was not even there last year until after the draft.
Right.
And honestly, like, they do want to evaluate Joe Milton, and I don't blame any team for that. You know, you want to evaluate your young backup quarterback. You have to make decisions around your roster, and there's a lot to do there. So I think that is defensible.
How impressed were you by Milton?
Very impressed. He's a physical specimen. He is a really good athlete, and he throws a rocket. The guy's got a cannon. I mean, he throws it hard, and, you know, I was very impressed. Now, I will tell you that, of course, he made some incredible plays, and he kept plays alive, and he made a play downfield. No excuse here for the Bills. They should have played better still and in those particular plays, but I would also say the Bills were not game planning for Joe Milton, right? If you're game planning for Joe Milton, you're probably a little bit more buttoned up on a couple of those plays that got away from you. You know what he can do, you know. So, guys, you go back to, you know, what the vibe was yesterday. I will tell you, too, that I think they were more vanilla, both of these teams, than a preseason game. Like, I think the Bills on offense and defense were as basic as you could get in anything they did. Mm-hmm. Like, they did not show anything. They didn't want to get anybody hurt. They just did a vanilla game plan. I mean, even so much where you saw a lot of toss sweeps, and Eric made a great point in the broadcast, and he's like, you know, I think they're running toss sweeps literally so you don't have a bunch of guys banging into each other at the line of scrimmage to keep guys healthy and keep people off your legs.
I even thought maybe, like, running backs were going down easily.
Yeah, maybe.
Rather than just sort of fighting for extra yards in this game to help protect from injury. I do want to say, we were talking about the New England quarterback stuff last week. You brought up, Sal, the possibility of the Patriots doing what they did. And I said, that's the one scenario I think that's weird, because it would sort of it would smell bad if you're starting May. He's healthy enough to play, but then you take him out. But it is what they did. I still think it's weird, but it is what they did, to acknowledge that you brought up that possibility with us. So, is there anything more to say about the Bills' performance? It really doesn't matter much, right? Mike White, anything on Mike White?
He played 3 snaps at wide receiver, 17 snaps at quarterback. And the reason why he played wide receiver was to make sure they didn't have to put other guys in the game they didn't want to put in the game. I think the most interesting thing about the Bills yesterday was the personnel and who played and who didn't. And we can get into that. But literally the 5 backup offensive linemen, we talked about it. I explained it. It was exactly how it played out, which was, if you want to get all of those offensive linemen out of there, you elevate one guy, that gives you 5. All of them played every snap. It's exactly how they wanted it. Not one starting offensive lineman played an offensive snap. I think Osiris Torrance is in on some field goals and extra points. That was special teams. They did that. And then, you know, defensively, obviously, they played at linebacker. You saw Eddie Ulofosio, and, you know, you saw Dorian Williams in there. And then the inactive list was a who's who of who can we simply cannot live without right next week, right? They're not even coming close to dressing. And then you had a whole bunch of guys who also were active, because you can't make everybody inactive, and then just did not play a single snap.
Right. Somebody who was active, who'd been out for a few weeks here and played, I think, every snap on defense, is DeMar Hamlin. And as the game was unfolding and I kept seeing him on the field, eventually it started out being Rapp, and eventually it was he and Bishop. And I think we touched on this last week. Like, is there going to be a decision to be made? I guess Sean McDermott ended any speculation about there being a change there. It looks like they played Hamlin yesterday to ramp him up so he'd be more ready to play this Sunday against Denver.
Yeah, that's right. And I agree with you. I still had questions and wondered, you know, with him playing the whole game, what did that mean? With Cole Bishop coming in late, you know, what did that mean? I think obviously Taylor Rapp, we know he's a starter. He came out of the game. You know, it really went with Hamlin and Bishop, who hadn't had a lot of time on task together this year. So that was good, at least for them to get that pairing together, because the safeties have to work in concert so much. But you're right. So everybody knows, just a little while ago, Sean McDermott was on his weekly Zoom call with us, and he did say DeMar is the starter, and that's how we'll go into this game.
So much for the regular season. We've known the two seed for a long time. We figured Denver, the odds were Denver, and now it is Denver, even though we've talked about it before. Here we are, week of. Sal, your thoughts on how dangerous is this team for you? What are they good at that maybe could be a problem for the Bills?
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff I like and stuff I don't like about the matchup. This is a dangerous team, no doubt about it. They present some problems in some areas. Every team at this point of the year, you're going to find areas where they're going to have strengths. I mean, that's why they made the playoffs, and they are where they are. Their biggest strength is, or some of their biggest strengths are, their ability to rush the passer. They have 63 sacks on the season. That's a monster number, guys. I mean, they're really getting after the quarterback. They have the number one sacks per pass attempt in the league. They sack the quarterback one every 10.4% of the time on dropbacks. So one every 10 dropbacks, they're getting to the quarterback. Now, a good thing for the Bills is they are the least sacked team in the league. I think second, actually Denver might be least in the Bills now after last week, but Buffalo's one of them, one or two. They don't allow many sacks because Josh Allen obviously is very tough to get down, but it is something they do very well. And part of that is because they have a shutdown corner in Patrick Surtain, and that really helps their coverage, and then their sack, you know, their pressure can get home. So that's something, those are things they do really well. They have a very good defense. They have a very good defense statistically. You watch them play, they remind me a lot of Sean McDermott defenses, actually. Now, the Bills obviously had Tre'Davious White, but it's always been more about the sum than the parts for the Bills under Sean McDermott. I think that's really what they are, too, the Broncos. They have good players, obviously, Surtain, and they have a few others, but they're really more about the sum. They work very well together. They understand their system. They can play multiple ways because of that. And I think that really can be a problem for an offense. And then, you know, we've talked a little bit about this. I think the other area where they're really good is in the return game. They have a guy that's an all-pro. That's Marvin Mims. He can be a good, pass catcher and down the field, but he can be a problem in the return game. You can't give him, opportunities. And then the rookie quarterback is just playing really well, Bo Nix. He's playing really well. He's using his legs well. He's got a fantastic offensive head coach on the sidelines to help him, and I think they've really grown together in that role.
How big of a deal is it if the Bills have to be without their return man, speaking of return men? Because Codrington has an injury. We don't know serious it is, but it's the one thing that came out of this game that McDermott mentioned today.
So I have to tell you, I know that nothing happened during the game as far as like any official injury reports, right? Which is really good. I on the sidelines, I got no injury reports from either side. I didn't see the blue medical tent up on either side. That's fantastic in any football game when that can happen, regardless of who's playing. You want to see that. But today, Sean McDermott did say that Brandon Codrington is dealing with a hamstring injury. And there was a play right near our sideline. I'm going to have to go back and find it now. It was right on the Bills sideline, right in front of me. Codrington made a tackle. He was playing DB. And when he got up, he went back towards the huddle. And I thought to myself, boy, he looks like he's limping. But he never came out of the game. So I never inquired more, just thinking, okay, it's just bumps and bruises in the game. It's football. But it did look like he was limping a little bit. I think he finished the game, though, because he went in the game. So that's encouraging, obviously, right? But we'll see where this goes. And as far as a problem, I think it's a big issue, guys. I mean, he's number four in the league in punt returns. He's averaging over 11 yards a punt return. The Bills have the best starting field position in the NFL, by the way, average. I think they did. Going into this week, they did at least. That's a big part because of this guy and what he's doing. You lose him. You're losing a guy that can take it to the house at any moment because he is a very good return man. It hasn't happened. He had one that was called back. A guy that's really helping you in the return game. He's made fantastic decisions all year. But also the other issue is, who's the guy behind him?
That's what I was going to say. I'm looking at their depth chart. Ray Davis is listed as a kick returner along with Codrington, but Codrington is the only name next to punt returner on their Our Ledge depth chart. So, I don't know who goes in.
Samuel?
I would think it would be either K.J. Hamler or Khalil Shakir. Just tell Khalil to catch the ball. But now you're sacrificing some yards, right? I mean, like, I don't know. It's a good question. Hopefully he's able to play. But if he's not, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're not going to bring Daquan Hardy up to do it in a playoff game for the first time in his life in an NFL game. You do have the option of Micah Hyde, guys. I mean, like, let's think about that. And, you know, he is a defensive back, just like Codrington. I know one's a safety, one's a corner. But if you need a guy to catch punts, you have Micah Hyde on reserve there in the practice squad. So these are just things you have to start thinking about if you're the Buffalo Bills, and I'm sure they are thinking about those things right now.
Also, Coleman was a good punt returner in college.
That's right. That's right. Mike mentioned Curtis Samuel. Like, maybe that's, I don't know if he's practiced it at all here all season long. But
you know, Bulldog, I thought about you for this after Codrington got injured, because you mentioned last week when I said to you guys, remember we had this conversation, and I said, hey, I said, if they want, they could probably go Codrington, Elam, and Jamarcus Ingram, right, and that might be. And then you said, well, I don't know if I want Codrington out there. What happens if he gets hurt? Because what do you have? And unfortunately, that's what happened, right?
Right.
But as someone brought up to me, why was he playing? I mean, well, you could have, are you going to play Rasul Douglas? Are you going to play Christian Benford? Like, the options were very limited, too.
Right.
Speaking of Ingram, we had the conversation in my house about what Sam Martin should give him for that save on the punt. I know CBS mentioned a dinner. I thought a hot tub at least. Like, it's got to be nicer than a dinner, I think. Martin. Two punts, two cracks at it. He gets a bad bounce on the first one. Ingram saves him on the second, so he gets that $100,000 bonus. That's good money if you're a punter, I bet. 100 grand. It was important.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, that was the cool part about yesterday, too, guys. Seeing these guys celebrate each other and these achievements and getting their bag, if you will. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Von Miller gets that sack, and everybody knew exactly what was going on. And, you know, it was kind of funny. I'll tell you a funny story. We were in the locker room after the game, and we were all standing around Von Miller's locker waiting to hear from him. And Brandon Bean sees all of us standing there. So he walks up to the media before Von talks, and Brandon Bean goes, hey, it's a real shame, guys, that they only gave him a half a sack on that, isn't it? And we're all looking. It was a joke, obviously, to say, because Von was sitting right there, because if he got only a half a sack, he would have not got it. And then Brandon laughed. Even Brandon Bean, the GM, who's got to pay the guy out, it goes against the salary cap. He was laughing about it. It was great, right? Like, I think that's really been something that, you know, the Bills have done very well, to take care of their guys, understand that the personal achievements, the money, these things matter. Sure, it might hurt a little bit on the salary cap, but you know, you want to create an environment where players feel like the team is supporting and encouraging you to hit those incentives and hit those milestones. And I get it. There's a little bit of risk there. And that was with James Cook yesterday. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
But I do think that, you know, that's a healthy environment.
That was the one that really surprised me, is that he came in late in the game like that, like he did, third quarter, whatever it was. Because he had those opportunities early and it didn't happen. It's like, well, that's it. Tough luck, kid. You know, like better luck next year.
Yeah, no doubt. And I thought the same thing once he was taken out. And also, for that point, so when he didn't get the first touchdown and they threw it to Ray Davis and he was on the sidelines, he had his crack and he didn't get in. I immediately put my eyes on James Cook. Like, what's he thinking? And to James's credit, as a team player, he was celebrating for Ray Davis. It's like, yeah, you know, and he was coming out and, you know, he was one of the first people out there to kind of celebrate the touchdown with Ray Davis as he came off the field. And I thought to myself, well, that's cool. I mean, he didn't get his chance. I'm sure he would like it. But then later in the game, he got it. And he said to us after the game, he did not know he was going to go back in at that point. Like, it just happened. It wasn't like they talked about it, right? But but he was ready. And once they got down there, they put him back in. I also would tell you, I'm pretty sure, you guys can tell me, I have not watched the TV broadcast yet. Did Mitch Trubisky go down on purpose to give him that shot?
I think he
might have.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he got, you know... Sure, you don't want to expose yourself to a shot, but I think he went down sooner than he needed to. He could have dove for the end zone himself, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. And Trubisky, by the way, on that run, I think it was that run. I don't think he had one after that. An underreported milestone here.
Negative yards.
He had negative 11 yardage rushing on the year. And because that got him to 12 yards on the game, so he finished at like positive one for the season.
Hey, before we wrap up here, what the machinations behind coordinators getting interviews. Joe Brady, we're seeing reported by you that the Jets have him on the list, and I know Brady talked about this and addressed this in the Saints. When and where can that happen while the Bills are alive?
Okay, so teams right now can submit interview requests for these coaches. And but the interviews must be done, as Joe Brady said, it would have to be done next week, but they all have to be virtually. So if the Bills are still in next week, Joe Brady then can interview virtually starting next week with some of these teams, not in person. And then they'd have to wait a couple more rounds for either his season to be over, or Super Bowl, I believe, for them to, or the bye week of the Super Bowl, for them to bring him in person. So it's not like this week he can be going and flying to New Jersey or to New Orleans and interviewing for these jobs, but they can put in these requests. And yes, he did confirm. He said his focus is solely on the Bills, and yes, of course, he aspires to be a head coach given the right opportunity someday. But it wouldn't even matter this week anyway, and those interviews wouldn't even happen until next week, and those would be virtually.
And I believe that the Chiefs and the Lions guys, if they are so inclined, can do interviews this week because they are on bye.
Yes,
right. So that's,
I think that's the case. Yeah, a lot of these things have been massaged over the years, Bulldog, but I believe that's where it stands right now.
Tell the Saints they can talk to Brady the week of the Super Bowl. He'll be down there. They can do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, I don't want to leave anything on the bone here about yesterday real quick, guys, but I do think two things. You mentioned Amar, so the other one was Matt Milano. I thought that was really interesting yesterday. We talked a lot about Milano. He did not play. He was active. He did not play. I think that is a clear indication that Matt Milano is your starting will linebacker, and that's who they're rolling with going into the playoffs next week. And I'd be surprised, other than a base set, where they might bring in a third linebacker for some reason.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'd be surprised if Matt Milano comes off the field for Dorian Williams.
Amari Cooper is still away.
Amari Cooper's still away. He's a personal family matter, but it's only Monday. The team, I'm sure guys came to the facility in some capacity today, in whatever respect that is, but they don't practice till Wednesday. Sean did say he's hoping to have Amari back. I'd hope so, I think is how he phrased it when I asked him if he's coming back, this week, if they expect him back. So, we'll see where that goes on Wednesday.
Normal week, no practice tomorrow. Like you just said, maybe.
No practice tomorrow. Oh. It'll be a normal week this week. I don't know if they're going to do a walkthrough or a regular practice this week. We'll find out. We don't have that media schedule yet, guys. But it's a Sunday 1 o'clock game, which I think is great for the routine, right?
Right.
I mean, I think that's really that's good. And, getting a team that plays two time zones to the west to come over here for a 1 o'clock game on Sunday, I think is also good for the Bills, especially them coming off that huge emotional high and win, against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's fine. I will tell you, though, Sean Payton is very, very, very in tune with body clocks and travel. And I would not be surprised at all if they fly in here on Friday because of that. Last year, when they played Monday night, they flew in on Saturday, and I had never seen this before. They did not leave until Tuesday morning.
Wow. Well, it's great here that time of year, but
yeah, there you go.
I talked to Jeff Legwald today, ESPN Denver. And he's planning on being in their locker room Friday afternoon. So if they're coming in on Friday, it's going to be either this change of the schedule or it's going to be late. We'll see.
Well, I believe, Mike, that when they played in Buffalo Monday night last year, if memory serves me right, I think they flew here late Saturday night.
Okay.
And they got in because I'm telling you, this is a Sean Payton operation when it comes to sports science and body clocks and stuff.
I can relate very into that myself. Sal, thank you, and we'll talk on Wednesday. Yeah.
All right. If you're awake, if your body clock tells you that, right, you got to make sure. Yeah, no doubt.
I should
no
be
doubt.
Awake.
Thanks,
guys.
Sal. Sal's appearance with us here on the Western Hotline brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Brian Daboll staying on as the Giants coach, by the way. One more little nugget from a busy day of NFL news. 803-0550 for your calls. Football Monday. What do you think? Denver at Buffalo Sunday at 1. Sabres pregame, the Steve Foley Law pregame show at 6. Washington in town, and I don't know when they got here, but probably yesterday at some point.
I think that's probably right.
Paul Hamilton to join us at 6. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
I mean, for me, like I said, man, I just got to do what's best for me and my family. If that's here or if that's wherever the case may be, man, I'm finna open that door for myself, dog. I'm out, bro. So it was great playing here, but at the end of the day, bro, I gotta do what's best for for my career, and because I'm too much of a competitor to be.
Why is it always a wideout? Tyreek Hill. I'm out. Because I just want to win that badly. That's what makes me different than the other. That's why I feel like I can say I need to leave this team that I signed to play for. It's because this is Diggs.
Who just redid my contract this past season, didn't they? Like, yep. If they signed Waddle, they adjusted his contract. I never thought they would. But when they signed Waddle, that's the end of Tyreek Hill. They're going to walk away from that, but they can. You mentioned hit Diggs. I think it's about $30 million in dead money. They'll save nothing, but if they just move him and take it all at once, it's around the same figure that the Bills just bit off with Diggs this year. So nothing about – did you see I saw, a minute and a half maybe, that the clip that we just played was contained within it. There was nothing good that came out of what he said. Like, he was asked about not going back in the game. He was like, you see the score of the other game?
The Denver score?
The Denver score. It's like, dude, okay. You're so competitive.
So competitive. I got to sit this one out.
Right. So competitive. Denver's up 24-0. I guess I'm done.
Why is it always a wide receiver?
Yeah.
It is, right? It's always a wide receiver.
Yeah,
you ever hear a lineman be like, I'm getting out of here. I want to win more than these guys. Does a running back ever say it?
No, it's
does a kicker?
It's the receiver. It's always the receiver.
This is the first year of Tyreek Hill's career that he was not named to the Pro Bowl. He will not be a first team all pro for the sixth time. 81 for 959 and 6. Did not pay off that 104, 105 fantasy draft pick value this year. Did not pay off.
Nope.
Guys around him did. Jefferson did. Jefferson went after Hill. So did Chase. Those were 1-2. I won on the Chase bet. Led the league in receiving yards kind of easily in the end. Jefferson, I think, second. Lamb pretty much paid off in that same range, but not so much Tyreek Hill. Not the end of the world. Not a total bust, not like a McCaffrey who doesn't play at all, basically, but still not what you drafted for. Even St. Brown. St. Brown went after these guys. A.J. Brown.
Well, I hope they enjoy an offseason as long as it lasts with him, and whatever kind of noise is going to be made and interpreting what he does on social media up to and including, ooh, I think, editing his face onto a picture of Antonio Brown leaving the NFL field for the last time when he was ejected from a game at the Meadowlands with Tampa. I think that's what his picture, his avatar now is on Twitter. that's what it appears to be to me anyway. I'm not a scientist about these things, but anyway, good luck to you. Like, I'm listening to him talking there, and I watched this longer clip last night. And I'm thinking, in an alternate universe where I have to care deeply about this, I'm trying to figure out if when he says I'm out, he just means like he wants to end the interview, or did he really mean I'm out? Like, what? How definitive is it? I don't know, man. Good luck to you, Miami.
In the end, all other three AFC East teams finished with losing records. Miami did finish ahead of the Jets, so you won on that. By two or three games, even, right?
Yep. You took care of that last week while I was away, which was very considerate of you.
I did.
And all my big windfall from that big fantasy team we had together.
$33.33.
Yeah, that was nice.
Hey, you were on a free roll.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm not complaining. It was funnier to me because you texted me about the bet on the Dolphins and the Jets. Was it 50 or 25? And I didn't know for sure. And so I just kind of forgot about it. And then the next thing I see is my Venmo tells me I've got the 53, 36.
58, 33.
Yeah. And to me, it was funny if the bet was 50 and the fantasy team won $8.
$8.33.
Like that was your...
No.
Anyway.
Well, there's room for a new one. New England, by winning, falls to the fourth overall pick. And we've got playoff business to take care of around here, but that's just a massive failure by the Patriots. However you want to say, however the blame needs to be apportioned, it's a massive failure.
I read one assessment of the value of what they lost by winning that game, moving from 1 to 4, is the equivalent of the 12th overall pick. Like, that's the amount of draft value they lost. So I think that's according to the different charts and the different valuations on each pick and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's a way to look at it. You think, oh, they're picking fourth, it's fine, whatever, they won the game. You know, you can paint yourself into whatever corner you want to be happy that your team won this game and then fired their coach. And just sort of dismay, it's not that big a deal. They'll get a good player anyway. The best left tackle will probably be the fourth pick, and we need that or whatever. Talk yourself into a pretzel all you want. You cost yourself basically the equivalent of the 12th overall pick. And that's value you just let fly out the window. So what, Gerard Mayo could ride off into the sunset with a W under his hat? Congarts, like
where,
you say.
Where should the blame go? I think they played Milton because they thought it was the safest way to lose. Playing May was not the safest way to lose. They decided he was healthy enough to play, and they had him take 3 snaps or whatever it was. I doubt they would have thought... I mean, I'm not at their practices, but I doubt they would have thought Brissett gave them a worse chance of winning than Milton in his first NFL action. So I kind of think they did that to help their chances of losing, and it didn't happen. Like, they still, their kicker made everything. You can't blame the players.
No, definitely not.
So I don't know. What's fair?
I mean, you can't know that Milton is going to smash the way he smashed in the game. But I think you also can know that Jacoby Brissett is only going to do so much for you. Right? So I get it. Guy playing first time ever. Like, it looks like pretty tanky. And he turned that on its head. So, you know, good for him. Credit to him. Credit to all the players. I would have felt like New England were trying harder to lose if Brissett had played. Honestly, because I think Milton's like a wild card, whereas Brissett is just going to, what, he's going to stand there and throw it late and not do anything. Like, he's just not, just, to me, it's safer. I guess, you know, you could have maybe thought, I'm going to turn Milton loose, he's going to throw picks, and that'll get us beat. And Brissett definitely would not do that. Like, he's not going to get you beat. I just don't think he's going to do anything to help you win, necessarily.
Well, he's about Trubisky, right, Brissett?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So... anyway, I would have felt like New England was less dangerous with Brissett in the game, and I would have felt that way going. I liked Milton when he was in college.
I guess
I was kind of excited to see him. Honestly,
massive failure in the sense that there's no excuse, but if you make the decision to play him, it's to see him, and to see him is not to hand the ball off 50 times.
That's right.
I mean, to see him is to test him. And that's what happened. And he was good. So what can you do after that's kind of been established? I mean, you could take him out, but
that's going to look bad.
That it makes it worse. It's even for the third guy, and I don't know the logistics of all that anyway. You're not going to punt on second down. Like, there's only so much you can do. Somebody brought this up on the postgame show yesterday, and one point I made was, as easy as it is to smack them for winning that game and the draft pick point, when you take Josh Allen off the field and 10 other Bills starting caliber players, if not more, New England should beat the Bills backups. Like, the Patriots had a few guys out, like Gonzalez. They had a few guys out, but they weren't, like, resting people, other than May, I guess.
Right.
And I think if those teams played 10 times, the Patriots would win half the time, you know, maybe more.
Against the Bills backups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So if you think that, what really can they do to help control the outcome of that game other than mess up on purpose, you know, players fumbling or missing field goals, whatever. And that just will not happen. You will not. The players are not invested in this the same way as even the fans are. The players don't care if they have the number one pick necessarily. They might not even want it. And if you're having a season where you're 3-13 and you can smell or taste victory, I think you're going to be even more, you know, motivated to be at your best. So what was the mistake? I don't know. I think Milton was to help them lose, and he just played well. The Steve Foley Law pregame show, Sabres and Capitals, coming up at 6. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, Football Monday on WGR. The Bills and the Broncos in the postseason, Sunday at 1. It'll be the second, only the second, postseason meeting between these teams. The first one is pretty famous. 1991 AFC Championship, Carlton Bailey, Bills 10, Broncos 7. I was there. It was a very strange game, very strange day. The Bills, even the week before against Kansas City in the divisional round, the Steve DeBerg-led Chiefs, I believe, just
rolling.
Rolling.
Right.
The 91 team was maybe the best team, the best offense of the four, I want to say, 91, if not 90. And in that Denver game, they couldn't get first downs. It was, I can remember where I was sitting, upper end zone by the scoreboard, just, you know, baffled. I think the whole crowd was. Everybody was. Mm-hmm. What happened? Like, Denver was a pretty big underdog. And Elway, like, they had, I think they had a couple of field goal misses, maybe, the Broncos in that game, but scoreless late. Think about that happening.
Yeah, right.
Scoreless, I think, into the fourth quarter. I'm going to double check that, but just a very bizarre game. So the Bailey touchdown was at the other end of the field. I think I have where
right.
I was. Right,
tunnel end.
Yeah. On the tunnel end.
Yeah, yeah.
And the place just exploded. Then you get a long Norwood field goal for 10-0. Denver scores and gets an onside kick, I think is what happened.
And
they fumbled.
And eventually isn't Kubiak in this game?
Yes.
Like, what happened to Elway there? Did he get hurt?
He got hurt.
He must have gotten hurt. Yeah, all right. Yep.
And I think it was Steve Sewell, maybe, who fumbled at the end of that game.
Yeah, yep, yep.
To wrap it up.
I've got, for some reason, Kirby Jackson in my head.
Okay.
As someone who mattered on that play, but I don't have to be right about that.
The Bills had 12 first downs in that game and won. This will be...
I might have misheard you. I thought you said they have two playoff meetings.
This is number two.
This is number two. Okay, good. That's what I thought. When you said it, I thought, like, I'm sitting here going, oh, okay, there's a 60s one or something that I don't remember, right? AFL. But no, okay, this is the second one. Gotcha.
Is Sunday... Sunday's January 12th. Today's the 6th. So Sunday will be January 12th. That's the exact date of this other game.
That's pretty cool.
33 years later. The Broncos, I want to check this too while I'm talking, but I'm pretty sure their last playoff game Super Bowl 50.
Yeah, yep.
Where Sean McDermott coached against them. Von Miller was the MVP,
right,
of Denver's last playoff game, not just win.
Right. They've not been in a playoff game since they walked off the field victorious in that Super Bowl. That's right.
I kind of hated that Super Bowl. It was boring. Denver and Carolina.
Yeah. Wasn't there Newton stuff, like not trying for a fumble
didn't
late
die for
or
a
something?
Fumble.
And like, I remember that. There was a lot of body language and assessing of desire, I think, after that game.
The game we just talked about, the Carlton Bailey game, the Bills had 12 first downs and won. This Super Bowl, Denver had 11.
Come on.
They had 11 first downs. Outgained by a lot by Carolina, 315 to 194. I mean, they won the Super Bowl with 194 yards. No wonder a defensive player was the MVP.
That's the year Manning was completely broken.
Completely.
Like, just it had been unraveling for him slowly over the course of the last couple years of his career, but that season was just like, how are they doing it? How is he doing it? Well, he's not doing anything. What is happening here?
In the Super Bowl, he went 13 for 23 for 141, an interception, and was sacked 5 times. I wonder how McDermott felt. Like, we did it.
Yeah, right.
we did our job.
Right. Won the Super Bowl. I mean, what is this? Super Bowl 9?
They
won the Super Bowl with 190-some yards?
Super
That's
Bowl
incredible.
50. Was there a typhoon?
My gosh.
I told you, I hated this game.
Wow.
Emmanuel Sanders led Denver 6 for 83. He'd be a cool choice for, like, the alumni Bill's hero this week.
Sure, yeah.
Former star with Denver, but hey, get stars
to,
too.
Find my way to Carlton Bailey while you're at it.
Carlton Bailey, even better.
There you go. Let's make it happen.
Or is that, would that be kind of shouted down because it's too in your face if they had Carlton Bailey bang the drum or whatever? What do they actually do? In other stadiums, they have drums.
I don't think they...
They don't have a drum, right?
I don't know if they... They
sing the shout song on the field.
Sabres have a drum now, I think. Don't they?
Yeah, the Sabres have a drum.
So I don't know if the Bills... I don't know if the Bills have a drum. Usually that... Whoever that dude is, I've seen Flutie, I saw Fina doing this, Marv did this. They're in the end zone with a mic.
Yeah.
Getting everybody hyped up. So I don't know if there's a drum involved.
No, there's no drum. All right. Other teams have a drum. Yeah, wouldn't somebody in the front office be like, guys,
a little too cheeky?
It's just, you know.
Cheeky's maybe not right, but it's just a little too brazen.
Another time.
Yeah, right.
Another time. Let's get somebody who's not specifically associated with beating Denver for this one. Maybe we should be able to find somebody. The Steve Foley Law pregame show, the Sabres and Capitals tonight. Paul Hamilton next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.